The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation.
WTBQ
And good morning and welcome to Health Matters. Why? Because your health does matter. My name is Peter Fell. I'm the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. And joining me this morning is my wife, Ann Fell, who's the Regional Director of Patient Care Services at A&T Healthcare. She's also the Director of Quality Assurance. Ann, could you give our listening audience of WTBQ a good morning greeting?
Good morning. It's great to be here.
All right, Ann. I thought I always like to start it off. It's a beautiful morning, and we're all very happy to be here. Today's guest will be calling in shortly. I think he might be on the line now. It's Mr. Lenny Nathan, and he is the owner of HealthSave, which is an organization that teaches you how to do CPR, also known as cardiopulmonary resuscitation. So I think we've got a very great show scheduled for today. A&T Healthcare, a home healthcare agency. We have offices in Kingston, Newburgh, New York City, New Jersey, as well as in Westchester, right? And our corporate office is in
Mount
New
Kisco,
City.
Yes.
That's right, Mount Kisco. And our corporate office is in New City. A&T Healthcare, we're very happy to be bringing you Health Matters every Thursday morning. And thank you for being a part of our Thursday morning with you. One of the things that I always say about Health Matters is that it is not controversial, contentious, or confrontational. However, it's very informative, engaging, and I always want to say very entertaining. Okay, we do accept phone calls or any question that you may have. The phone number is 845-651-1110. Again, the phone number is 845-651-1110. A&T Healthcare. If you want to join us on Facebook, okay, that is the quintessential social media. That's if you're not in it, you're missing out on so much stuff. But you got to do it. You know, like really. Love it or hate it. I know it's a double-edged sword. Some things you love about it. But I do know if you can like us on Facebook, go to our website, you're going to see a lot of informative information. That was a good article we had on about the benefits of water that was posted. I'm always like learning.
That's actually on our website. A&T okay. Healthcare. AT-healthcare.com.
Yeah, we want to inform everyone.
But the Facebook page would take you out to our website.
Yes. And then you'll see it. Everything's all connected, but it's A&T Healthcare, not to be confused with AT&T, as I say. I don't know, Governor Cuomo, they signed, I know I'll be very brief, but they signed the martial arts now. You're allowed to do it in New York State. And Ann, I feel discouraged.
Martial arts, like,
events or
events,
yes,
okay.
Events you can have it here in
because there
York
is
State.
Martial arts,
yes. But I'm saying now we're going to have the venues here in New York State. We were one of the last holdouts, I think, in the United States. But we've been talking so much about traumatic brain injury. And I tell you, if you've ever seen any of those matches, they're a lot worse than any kind of football game you could encounter, or even a boxing match for that particular matter. I just want to do a very quick shout out to my fraternity brothers at Phi Kappa Psi. Ann and I, we had it was the Founders Day reunion, and Ann and I went up to Rhode Island this past weekend from the University of Rhode Island. But apparently I have a group of silent followers that are listening to us. As I always say, WTBQ Health Matters, you have a streaming live. Okay, just go on the internet. You're able to listen to it. And apparently a lot of my fraternity brothers are doing it. If you're listening right now, I'd like to give you a shout out. It was great seeing you. And I know several of them do want to be on the show, Ann. That's why we have a couple of shows that we're going to be scheduling with our friends. So anyway, some we're looking forward to. We have a caller on the line. Who am I speaking with? Your first name? Where are you calling from?
Well, I think if you're speaking with me, Peter, it's Lenny Nathan.
All right. Okay. Lenny, thank you so much for calling with your busy schedule. You are our guest today. Okay. I did call in this morning, and everyone's all excited about it, about the things about with CPR, cardiopulmonary resuscitation. Before we get started, Lenny, could you just tell our listening audience something about yourself so we can know you and something about your company, and then we could start talking about CPR.
Sure, and I'm glad you defined what CPR stands for. Many people don't know.
Yes, I'm Taylor and Frank.
Cardiopulmonary resuscitation. And I'm going to talk about what those three words mean in a moment. But my background, I was an executive in TV with ABC Sports for 30 years.
Oh, wow.
And I retired in 2003. I decided to pick up the golf clubs and just kind of get involved with what I could do in the volunteer community here and there. It led me to EMS, and I fell in love with it, never
wow.
thinking I could forever in any way, shape, or form be involved in dealing with blood or, you know, sick people. But I did fall in love with it. I became an EMT. I became the trainer at the Ambulance Corps,
That
led me to start HealthSafe, which is now an American Heart Association training center. And we are based in New City, which is where you are.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But we service the entire tri-state area for training.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And we're dying to be talking about, but why don't we just start it? Is that what exactly is CPR? In layman's terms, as simple
as
we can
go. You mentioned what those three words mean. Cardio, which is our circulatory system. Pulmonary, which is our breathing system. And then that word resuscitation. Many people don't know what that means, but if you look it up in the dictionary, it means to bring back to life.
Mm-hmm.
So
wow.
what we're trying to do is take someone who is clinically dead.
Wow.
That is, a person who needs CPR is already dead. People have to understand how serious this is, and we are trying to resuscitate them. And the problem is, when a person needs CPR, there aren't enough people out there who know what to do. And that's what we're trying to fix. Because that moment that a person needs CPR, and it's very easy to determine, if it doesn't start immediately, they will be brain dead, which is irreversible.
Mm. What is the time sequence?
3 to 4 minutes.
3 to 4 minutes. Okay, so you can't, yeah.
That's it.
Wow.
So one of the misnomers that exist out there is people often think this has something to do with heart attacks. It has nothing to do with heart attacks. So if I could, I'd like to take a moment to explain that.
Okay. Yeah, that was one of our questions we wanted to talk about. Go ahead about the symptoms of a heart attack, but let's hear what we're saying now. Go ahead.
All right. Heart attacks, the biggest problem with heart attacks is that our society is unaware and ignorant of what it truly is. Not ignorant people, but of this topic. We want to get that fixed. And that's the American Heart Association's goal now. Heart attacks are not huge causes of death.
Ah.
A heart attack is when a vessel in the heart muscle gets blocked. That blockage prevents blood and oxygen from getting to that particular portion of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And when that blockage occurs, oxygen and blood can't get through, therefore you have tissue damage. Most of our muscles in our body, probably actually all, when we exercise, we tear muscles, we hurt ourselves, but they heal. The heart muscle does not. So the damage from a heart attack is permanent. That's the significant issue. And it's the lack of recognition. And we have a really classic example that I can go to that mm-hmm. happened within the past couple of weeks. Saturday will be 2 weeks since the great comedian Gary Shandling died.
Yes, 66 years old.
Now, all right, but here's what happened with Gary Shandling. He experienced discomfort, and it's about for people to learn signs and symptoms of a heart attack. But he was experiencing some illness symptoms, not feeling well, probably pain, and he called his personal doctor. This was on Thursday. The doctor told him to call 911 and get an ambulance and go to the hospital. Gary Shandling did not call 911. Mm. Because the symptoms that he was experiencing, which his doctor over the phone surmised might be a heart attack, the symptoms went away. So Shandling felt better. On Saturday, he began experiencing these symptoms again. He did call 911. By the time the ambulance got to him, he was dead.
Oh, boy.
So what we do know is that between Thursday and Saturday, Shandling had several heart attacks. He probably, and no autopsy has been performed, but if we had one, we would know that he'd had several heart attacks probably before that Thursday. But people ignore the signs and symptoms. They don't see it because they think if it's a heart attack, they'd have to be unconscious.
Wow.
By definition, a heart attack victim will still be breathing.
Mm-hmm.
So heart attacks, the biggest cause of death from heart attacks is the lack of attention people give to find out if they ever had one. Statistically, in the United States in 2013, we we accounted for approximately 1.1 million heart attacks. Over 70% of those people survived.
Wow.
But of the 30% who died, probably over 90% of them, it wasn't the first heart attack. Because it's this accumulation of damage. And even when that happens, it may not be the heart attack that's the actual cause of death, which I'll explain in a moment. So the heart attack danger is it causes damage to the heart, and it's the lack of people's understanding of recognizing signs and symptoms. Mm-hmm. You have to have blood tests done in the emergency room to determine if it's a heart attack or not.
Yeah, I remember
when an ambulance gets there and uses an EKG, it's not conclusive. So when you go for your physical and the doctor says, you know, there's some irregularities here, they can't be conclusive that you had a heart attack in that year. They'll send you for blood work, and it's the enzyme levels in the blood that'll right. tell us if you had a heart attack or not. No other way to determine it conclusively, but people don't get to the hospital. They ignore the symptoms. That's the problem with a heart attack.
Okay, now we're listening to Health Matters, and our guest on the line is Mr. Lenny Nathan, who's in charge of HealthSave, and he's talking to us about cardiopulmonary resuscitation. When we come back, we'll be going over some of the reasons why a person should learn CPR. You're listening to Health Matters.
Are you an RN or an LPN, caregiver or aide, and want to be part of a first-class, full-service home healthcare agency? Then call A&T Healthcare at 845-638-4342. High standards of care from pediatric to adult patients need your TLC. You are dependable, compassionate, honest, and sensitive to the needs of others. Whether you are highly skilled or wanting to learn, A&T has the finest training program in the tri-state area. And if you'd like to be part of the number one home healthcare agency that makes a difference every day in so many lives, then call A&T Healthcare at 845-638-4342 today or visit at-healthcare.com.
This is Wayne Patterson of Better Homes and Gardens Rand Realty and host of The Real Estate Show, heard every Monday at 10 a.m. where you can learn how to buy and sell properties on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
Hi, this is Austin DuBois of Bluestein Shapiro, Rich and Barone. Tune in every Friday at 10 a.m. for It's the Law. I'll be talking about how the law can help you. That's every Friday at 10 a.m. on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
WTBQ, you're feeling all right. Welcome back to Health Matters. My name is Peter Fallon, the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. And joining me this morning is my wife, Ann Fellow, who's the Regional Director of Patient Services, also at A&T Healthcare. And on the line with us, we have Mr. Lenny Nathan, who is in charge of HealthSave, and he's talking to us about CPR, cardiopulmonary resuscitation. Lenny, may I ask you this question? What is the reason why a person should learn CPR?
Well, before the commercial break, excuse me, I had the opportunity to explain a heart attack, and a heart attack victim does not get CPR.
Right. Okay.
It's the importance of learning signs and symptoms so you can get to the hospital. But the number one killer that we have is a heart disease called cardiac arrest. It has absolutely nothing to do with heart attacks.
Wow.
A heart attack victim is, to continue where I left off, is generally associated to the obese, the bad diet, the lack of exercise, the smoker. Most of the time, not entirely, but most of the time, it's about lifestyle. Before World War II, heart attacks in the United States were a rarity. Mm-hmm. It's a 20th century dilemma.
Wow.
They didn't exist much before World War II. But the fast foods and all the lifestyle changes that have occurred in our society, the air we breathe, all of these things contribute to the fatty deposits that we get built up that cause heart attacks.
Right, we talk about
but
that.
But cardiac arrest is a whole different animal. Our heart runs on an internal pacemaker. It's not run by the brain. And what cardiac arrest is, you have to imagine your heart is running on an electrical current, self-generated. Cardiac arrest is when that electrical current gets offset. So our heart goes from that nice beating, pumping motion into an incredibly quick quiver. So the person's heart stopped pumping. Your blood pressure, in the blink of an eye, it's not gradual, it's instant. When it happens, your blood pressure goes to zero. At that moment, the clock is ticking, and your brain is being deprived of blood and oxygen. You have no more than 3 or 4 minutes before your brain is dead, unless somebody begins CPR. Because CPR, pumping that chest, doing that aggressively, you're pumping the blood through the person's body, keeping the brain, the heart, and other organs perfused, fed with blood and oxygen, keeping them going. Now, the heart, which is in this quiver, CPR cannot start that. That's impossible. All we're doing is keeping blood going through the body. The heart, which is in this quiver, has an electrical rhythm, but it's out of sync, so to speak.
Yes.
So in order to correct that arrhythmia, and it's a specific arrhythmia we call ventricular fibrillation.
Yes.
The only way to correct fibrillation, if I ask you, how do you correct fibrillation?
Electric shock.
Well, but it's called defibrillation.
Okay.
When we add DE at the beginning of a word, it means remove, de-ice, deactivate, defoliate.
Dehumidifier.
Dehumidifier. It is actually what why it's called a defibrillator, because it's meant to remove the fibrillation that the heart is in and restore the normal rhythm. But without CPR, if we restore that normal rhythm, the person's going to be brain damaged or brain dead. When CPR is performed, we're able to buy just several more minutes because we can't start the heart with CPR. Got to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
What we're doing is we're keeping the blood going through the body. But if we don't get that defibrillator, that AED, if we don't get it soon, that electrical activity in the heart will diminish. And once it's gone, there's nothing left to shock. You need that activity to, in order to reboot, so to speak, the heart.
Restart. That's a good way to put it. Reboot it.
And it's exactly what we're doing.
Right.
The electric shock, when it hits the heart, is actually stopping the heart for a blink of the eye. Mm-hmm. And when it stops, our hope is that the electrical pulse resets back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how this process works. And unless that defibrillator gets there soon, they will still die. Now, you're up in Orange County.
Yes, beautiful
Warwick.
We
live in Rockland County. Both of those counties, and it's not the norm through the United States, but every police car carries an AED.
Right.
And the police would usually be first to arrive on scene for an emergency because they're patrolling, there are more cars. And what happens is when someone calls 911 and that dispatch goes out, the police shoot over, the ambulance is going to take longer, but the police get there. Let's say they get there in 7 minutes. If the cop grabs that defibrillator out of the back seat and runs inside, if the person in the house was likely in cardiac arrest, why would the AED not help them?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Yeah.
Why
do you think it would not help them?
Because the heart fibrillation stopped.
But what would have allowed it to help them in that same amount of time?
Oh, someone doing CPR.
Exactly.
Yes.
And that's
yes.
not what's happening. People don't know what to do. That's why the survival rate in the United States in 2013 from cardiac arrest, and 80% of cardiac arrests occur in the home, the survival rate in the United States was 7%.
Wow. Those are, yes, those
over
are...
400,000. Over 400,000 of 425,000 people died. In Seattle, Washington, the survival rate was 62%.
Wow.
Everybody knows CPR.
Everybody knows
CPR. Mandatory in their school system for 35 years.
Right.
It is now mandatory in New York State.
Yes, that just came about.
As of October 7th.
Yes, that was very recent. Yes, it just came about.
I helped write the bill.
Good.
Wow. Oh, that's fantastic.
So I've been very involved with this. But we have 29 states as of today that have passed these measures in the past 4 years to make CPR training in high schools mandatory. And I think this is something else you wanted to talk about later, but the the process that we have in the bill for the training in the schools is what we call hands-only CPR.
Oh, okay.
Oh, boy, yes.
Because
yes.
if we can get in a very simple way, and I'll teach people over the phone in 60 seconds or less how to do CPR.
Right.
It's that simple. Now, obviously, our courses run 3-5 hours, depends on the course, so there's a lot more involved when you take a course. But the process of just recognizing, should I start CPR, and how to do it, pumping that chest, is simple. Mm-hmm. And we have to get every single person
so anybody to know could what to do. Right, anybody can learn CPR. And
anyone could and should.
And should learn CPR. Everyone
AHA
should.
Has a website, handsonlycpr.org, okay. and it has a 60-second video teaching you what to do.
I think I've seen that. Yeah. I think I've seen
that. And, you know, with us, if people go to our website, healthsafe.com, and that's spelled H-E-A-L-T-H, S as in Sam, A as in Apple, V as in Victor, .com. We leave the E off of save for emergencies.
Okay, I love that. I love that. I was going to say, no E, okay.
No E. But, you know, you'll see the kind of different courses. We have a page which gives the different courses and of course, our rates. And then there's a schedule, a calendar. We actually teach courses 7 days a week at our New City facility. And if someone has a group, we'll go on location anywhere in the tri-state area.
Great.
But it is so critical to get people to learn. And can I take a moment and just explain how one would do that?
Sure, let's go ahead. Yes.
And actually, June 5th at the Palisades Mall, we will be there from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. offering free, no more than 5-minute hands-only CPR classes. So if people want to mark that down, June 5th, it's a Sunday, Palisades Center Mall, will be on the first level between customer service and Macy's. We'll have 20 or more mannequins and a bunch of instructors, and it'll be a very quick get people to know what I'm about to tell you, but they'll also get the hands-on practice for a minute or two. But here's all you need to know. If a person collapses, immediately call 911.
Yeah, that's always the first thing. I want to point that out is that you call 911 first, and then you go to the next step.
You call 911 first, and then you take the heel, not the palm, but the heel of one hand, place that in the center of the chest. We use the phrase nipple line, okay? Mm-hmm. If you go between the nipples, that's the center of the chest. So you put the heel of your hand there. Then you put the other hand on top. Now you want to have your shoulders, your arms are locked straight, no bending of the elbows, and you use your upper body weight. You have to compress the breastbone over 2 inches. So for most people, you have to push as hard as you can.
Mm-hmm.
You do this to the beat of the Bee Gees, Staying Alive.
Oh, listen, can we just have a couple of, let's have it, Dan, we ever get that? Hold on 1 second, Lenny, go ahead.
So you do this to the beat. That's 103 beats per minute. And the cadence of CPR is to be up between 100 and 120. So Staying Alive, the title is perfect.
Oh,
you want
yes.
to help someone to be staying alive, you do your compressions. Oh, to the
I thought that was a joke at first, and then I said, no, that's how it is. I really, really like that. So it's,
it really is. No,
yeah.
we need to get
Thank
people
you,
a trigger. When I teach kids, I use a different song.
What's that?
Because it's the same tempo. Row, row, row your boat gently down the street. We need people to just have something to connect
right.
on
yes,
to what
yeah.
that speed needs to be. And you push down at least 2 inches. Come up, let the chest come up all the way, and then back down, and you keep it going at that rhythm of 100 to 120 per minute. That's how you properly pump the blood through that person's body. Center of the chest, as hard as you can. Remember, this person is already dead. This is the seriousness
wow.
of it. You can never make their condition worse. So what we say at the American Heart Association is pushing too hard is better than not hard enough. An injury would be better than death. If there's an injury, but you got them alive, We can fix the injury.
Injury can be repaired.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is what people often are one of the things they're afraid of. You can't make it worse if they need CPR. And when you start, you don't stop until they start moving, mm-hmm. until someone takes over, or until you just physically can't do it anymore. You can't do this by yourself. It's too physically demanding. We recommend people switch when we teach this in classes no more than every 2 minutes.
Right.
That's how physically tiring it is. But, you know, even with what I just explained over the phone, if God forbid something happened and someone said, oh, let me try that, you could yell out, and listen, someone, anyone else, if I need help.
Right.
If you don't know what to do, I can show you. And if they come over and you just let them watch you, it takes seconds to pick that up. But you're going to need the help going back and forth with other people because it is so physically demanding. But it's so, if you wait for help to get there, it's going to be too late. That's what cardiac arrest is. And the thing about cardiac arrest, again, versus a heart attack, not just the actual manifestation of it, they're not connected at all. But the people who go into cardiac arrest, of the 400,000 who died in 2013, over 10,000 were under 18.
Under 18?
The biggest age group just falls in the 30 to 40-year-old range. It has nothing to do with age. It has nothing to do with lifestyle. Cardiac arrest is just something that could happen anywhere, anytime, to anyone. You don't have to have any prior medical history towards heart diseases. It is that innocuous and that serious and that dangerous. If you add up the deaths from every cancer on a yearly basis out there, it doesn't reach the same number of deaths that cardiac arrest causes every year.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's how big a problem it is. And so much of it could be fixed, not eliminated, but fixed, if people went and learned CPR.
Okay, we were listening to Health Matters. When we come back, we're going to continue to talk to Mr. Lenny Nathan from HealthSave, talking about CPR. Okay, you're listening to Health Matters.
Are you an RN or an LPN, caregiver or aide, and want to be part of a first-class, full-service home healthcare agency? Then call A&T Healthcare at 845-638-4342. High standards of care from pediatric to adult patients need your TLC. You are dependable, compassionate, honest, and sensitive to the needs of others. Whether you are highly skilled or wanting to learn, A&T has the finest training program in the tri-state area. And if you'd like to be part of the number one home healthcare agency that makes a difference every day in so many lives, then call A&T Healthcare at 845-638-4342 today or visit at-healthcare.com. Baby, you can
drive my Ron and Annie and the Car Doctor getting up early Sunday mornings to talk to you right here on WTBQ, radio worth listening to, 855-560-9900. The garage doors go up bright and early. See you then.
Hi, this is Mary Ulrich with Cornell Cooperative Extension in Orange County, inviting you to join me and your Orange County farmers on Farm Talk every Wednesday at 12 noon, where you will learn everything agriculture on WTBQ, radio worth listening to. WTBQ
Weather. Well, we continue to have a freeze warning overnight with the cold temperatures, but it will moderate today into the 50s under sunny skies. Clear and cold again tonight, though, heading down to near 30, so there'll be more freeze. Then for tomorrow, mostly sunny and milder still in the low 60s. Clear and cold tomorrow night in the 30s again, and Saturday mostly sunny with a high around 65. From the WTBQ Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Tony Salima. WTBQ.
Welcome back to Health Matters. My name is Peter Fellin, the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare, and joining me is my wife, Ann Fellin, the Regional Director of Patient Services at A&T Healthcare. And on the line with us is we have Mr. Lenny Nathan, who is from HealthSave, and he's telling us all about CPR. Lenny, may I ask you a question? Do you like that song, Feeling All Right, by Joe Cocker?
Which one?
The one that we just, Feeling All Right, by Joe Cocker. Do you like that one?
Yeah, but is that 103 beats per minute?
Nah,
that's a little faster,
well,
I think.
I know that.
It's not that staying alive is the only song out there. It's just that title and the speed. But, you know, there's another song that sometimes people use, and I always say it's a very inappropriate song to use, but it's the proper speed, so it does work for that. But the song is Another One Bites the Dust.
Oh, boy.
So, you know, so if you're not a Bee Gees fan, but it's not what we want to hear.
No, absolutely not. All I know is we're feeling all right. I feel all right when I hear feeling
and
all right.
And actually, I've seen that video for
but
the Staying
Just remember,
so
Staying Alive with the Bee Gees.
Yeah, it's
you know, I'm real. I'm just digressing very quickly. It's all on the internet. But anyway, there was an episode of The Office where HR had them. Have you seen that one where they were doing CPR?
It was sent to me when it came out.
I'm laughing so hard, but the long and the short of it is the instructor had the mannequin there and said, okay, well, you have to do it to the beat of Staying Alive. And he said, once I was afraid, I was sad. And then he got
didn't
it
even
wrong.
Know the song.
And next thing you know, they're all singing and dancing to the song, feeling all right. And she just totally lost the class from it.
It was a great way to get a little publicity to CPR. It may be belittled a little, but I thought it was very well done. But, you know, we still want people to see the seriousness of learn this stuff. Go somewhere.
And you can learn it in your office, you know,
absolutely.
You know, this is where things happen, and people don't always, you know, you spend a good part of your day in your workplace. So it is a good place to learn that.
And one of the things that I advocate for and is one of my goals, first off, offices should have AEDs, because by the time help comes, especially if you're in an elevated building, you've got to wait for the elevator, it's going to take too long. So you want those things there. Now, it's not for every home, because I'll put a medium price on it, $1,500.
Okay.
But so it's not an everybody, everyday purchase. But my dream would be to see every strip mall have a communal AED.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got
reasonable.
Anywhere from 4 to 10 shops, let's say, your pizza place, your drugstore, your dry cleaner, supermarket, all these. And if they just, the landlords, maybe one additional rent increase for a purchase, it would just be a couple of $100 at the most per store. This is going to save lives, because you can't prepare for a cardiac arrest episode. They just happen out of the blue. Anywhere, anytime, and it's getting our society better prepared, both with learning CPR and then more AEDs per capita out in the public sector. Can I talk a bit about the legal end of it, which often confuses
people? Sure, I'm a registered nurse. I'm not the Good Samaritan law. Go ahead. Yes, please. Let's hear it.
Well, it's more than. But first off, I'm going to make a statement that's from the American Safety and Health Institute. And an attorney in Long Island who's become a good friend of mine, he's a cardiac arrest survivor, and he travels the country lecturing on legal aspects of this. The number one thing I want your listeners and yourselves to know is there has never in the history of the United States ever been a successful lawsuit against anyone who has performed CPR or first aid voluntarily.
Wow.
So there's never been a successful lawsuit. The people go around saying, oh, man, I read about all these lawsuits. It's all bogus. It's a myth. There has never been a successful lawsuit. And the main reason for this, and it's been since the mid-60s, New York was the first to pass it. It's now in all 50 states, is the Good Samaritan Law.
Okay.
And basically, there are three components that people should understand about it. One is the definition of a Good Samaritan. The definition is someone who voluntarily helps someone and isn't receiving any pay or reward. So I always use in my class as the example, if you're a lifeguard, you're working at the pool, you have to do it. It's your job.
Right.
It's not voluntary. You're not a Good Samaritan. But later, if you're out having dinner or walking down the street or wherever, if something happened and you chose to help, as long as you don't accept anything for it, you're a Good Samaritan.
Wow.
The second part of the law says one should just do it as best as they can and be reasonably careful. The legal system has outright defined that as all they look for is that someone tried. And the last part of the law says don't go beyond any level of training you've had.
Okay.
So again, there's never been a successful lawsuit. Being CPR certified does not mean you are required to do anything, nor does someone have to be certified in order to try to help and do something. Mm-hmm. Certification, which people mistakenly, again, believe is a legal document, it is not. It's a piece of paper that says, hey, I took this course.
Yeah,
that's all exactly. It is. And it has the signature of the instructor, which means that the day of the class, that person knew what to do. But unless people who get certified review the material, they're clueless when this happens.
But you can't
rest on laurels that, oh, I took CPR, I know what to do. 99% of the people who'll say that don't.
Right.
And I have to be cynical because I see it every day. But we have to get people to realize when we teach you, all we can do is get a person ready the day they're there with us. We give you a book. You've got to stay refreshed with the material.
Yes, yes.
So that if, God forbid, something happened, you are prepared. People truly are not. But that's because we're changing the teaching philosophy of CPR.
Yeah.
And when I say we, that's a royal we. That's the American Heart Association. I don't mean me and HealthSave alone. But we're changing the philosophy of training. And people have to understand better how to communicate with others during these situations and how to keep themselves prepared by reviewing materials periodically, not just every 2 years when their little CPR certification card expires. Because most people who come to me to, quote, unquote, recertify, it's harder than doing it for the first time.
Wow. Can I really, ask
that's true. That's true. I agree with that.
Yeah,
so we want to just encourage people.
Yeah, I always remember, so often they would change. It used to be 15 compressions to 2 respirations, and the next time it was 5 to 1.
In 2005, the change went from 15 to 2 to 30 to 2.
Right.
That has not changed since 2005.
Okay.
And we're in the third guideline change since then because it's on a 5-year cycle, or has been. And the 2015 guidelines that are out now pretty much just reaffirmed 2010, with a few, minor tweaks here and there. But, these tweaks, you have to understand, our science, our basis of studying cases, and with computers, our basis of understanding pluses and minuses, causes and effects, we're learning every day. So you have to expect changes to accommodate all that we learn scientifically.
Let me ask this question, Lenny. We were listening to Health Matters on WTBQ. Question is, you were talking about the signs and symptoms of a heart attack. What happens? What would happen if someone were to initiate the AED and the patient wasn't actually in cardiac arrest?
Okay. Great question. People often have that, fear. Oh, what if I shock them by mistake?
Yeah.
You can't.
Yes.
You cannot.
Okay.
It's impossible.
All right.
The AED is a computer. When the AED is put on a person, the two sticky pads, the computer is analyzing the heart rhythm. It'll either give you a no-shock-advised message, in which case continue CPR, or a shock-advised message. When it says shock-advised, all it means is, hey, guys, I found ventricular fibrillation. And we like to hear that because now we have a machine that statistically has a better than 80% chance of starting the heart. But if you press that shock button, nothing will happen until the computer says press the button.
Wow.
So it's impossible to shock someone by accident.
Right. Yeah.
The AEDs are foolproof. I've taught 6-year-olds how to use them. And I'm serious. Because the machine talks to you. It tells you what to do. It walks you through it. Of course, the certified person, we expect them to be quicker than that. But I've shown, I don't know how many dozens of little kids how to use it. All they have to do is press the button to turn it on, and it talks to you. But you cannot shock someone by accident. It's impossible.
Wow. Okay, so people shouldn't be concerned about
it. The fear should be gone. People should learn, get in there. Start pumping that chest. Don't
right.
stop unless they're moving, unless you can't do it anymore, or someone relieves you.
Right.
The AED, don't be scared of it. All you have to do is turn it on, and it talks you through the
Because it's broader now. It's not just for the medical professional. There's different
not
levels.
At all.
And you know, learning it in school and knowing it at home or if you're in your workplace is so important now. And you know, the message is getting out. It's much clearer, you know, and it's not as intimidating.
AHA has done so mm-hmm. much wanting to simplify, mm-hmm. and in 2010 they came out with the hands-only protocol,
yes.
which is what I described to
right.
you earlier, and that was to take the fear people have of putting their mouth on someone. But even a professional
true.
Is supposed to be trained. You never put your mouth on a stranger.
That's
just
true.
Keep pumping the
that's
chest.
Right.
You're
well,
never
those
supposed
days are
to
gone.
Put any activity that could be dangerous to you, and putting your mouth on a stranger could be highly dangerous. Right. But people don't understand that, because the idea of putting breaths into a person before 1960, and in some circles and at some point in history, was thought to be the most important part of resuscitation. In 1960, that's when CPR was invented mm-hmm. by three doctors. And one of them, I've actually can say, I feel he's my friend, because I've met him three times,
oh, that's,
and his
wow.
wife, and we've flown together, Dr. Knickerbocker. He's the only one of the three still alive. And their initial paper in 1960 concluded with this sentence: now anybody who owns a pair of hands can save a life.
Oh, that's how to do it.
That's very good.
All right, we'll listen to it.
That's how recent CPR is. And then the concept of compressions and the scientific studies continue to show how important those are versus the breathing part. And I'll tell you a little aside, not wanting to confuse you. CPR really is no longer CPR. We just, we have meetings about this, but we feel we can't change the
yeah,
name.
You don't
want to
change
confusing.
It. Yep.
But CPR really is CCR,
mm-hmm.
cardiocerebral resuscitation.
Okay.
The lungs, if a person dies of cardiac arrest, the brain and heart are, they're dead. They're not,
right.
they can't
no
be
oxygen.
Transplanted, mm-hmm. but the lungs can be. So it's no longer a pulmonary issue. It's the brain that we're trying to save.
Okay, we're listening
and that's
to,
where the pumping the blood comes in.
All right, we are having a great discussion. You listen to Health Matters, and when we come back, we're going to continue. And I do want to mention something about 10 primary reasons to learn CPR. Okay, you're listening to Health Matters.
A&T Healthcare hires the most qualified pediatric high-tech RNs and LPNs. They provide care with the utmost compassion and sensitivity. A&T Healthcare are committed to providing their pediatric and adult patients with the highest standards of nursing care. By providing high-caliber, reliable nurses and high-quality service, A&T Healthcare consistently delivers more value for each dollar spent. Call 845-638-4342 or visit at-healthcare.com.
Hi, this is Taylor. Have your second cup of coffee with me every Friday morning at 10:30 a.m. Learn the latest in news, gossip, health, entertainment, and of course, all about animals. WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
Hey, it's your turn to speak up. I'm Zach Kruk, the host of Speak Up, where you voice your opinion on issues affecting us in our nation and in our community. Speak up and call in every Wednesday at 10 a.m. on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
WTBQ.
And welcome back to Health Matters. My name is Peter Fell. I'm the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. I'm joined here by my wife, Ann Fell, the Regional Director of Patient Services at A&T Healthcare. And on the line, we have Mr. Lenny Nathan from HealthSave. One of the things I want to assure everyone A&T Healthcare, we've completed another shout-out to my class that just graduated up at the Newburgh office. But if anyone is interested in becoming a PCA, personal care aide, or a home health care aide, please contact one of our local offices and find out when the next class is scheduled. Actually, they're not scheduled yet. We will be scheduling them, but put your name on the list, and they will tell you when the next class would be. And as I said, if you really want to get started in the home healthcare field, this is a perfect way. And I am the instructor also. Lenny, we have a lot in common. I'm the instructor for my classes, and you're doing the CPR. I wonder if I could just interject this. I'm just looking at the time. The time goes so quickly, and I know. but I was doing my research, and they were talking about the 10 reasons to learn CPR, cardiopulmonary resuscitation. And the first one you've, and several of these you've already touched on. That's what I think. I'm just checking it off, but I'll repeat it. They said only 7% of cardiac arrest victims survive because people witnessing the incident do not know CPR. They said over
And early CPR will double and triple that person's chance of survival.
Right.
Ooh, okay. And then it said over 200,000 people die of sudden cardiac arrest every year. They said
that number is incorrect. It's over 425.
Okay. Okay. Let's update it. Great. And number three, they said 50,000 to 200,000 deaths yearly could be prevented.
And that's probably closer to 100,000 with the numbers we have today.
Oh, okay. And then
it's a lot of people we could save if people learned CPR. Exactly.
Okay. For every minute that an AED is unavailable, the victim has a 10% less chance of survival.
Okay. It's actually a little different. It's that without that once a person's heart stops pumping, you lose 11% every minute, but without CPR, the brain is gone in 3 to 4 minutes.
Okay.
So those numbers refer to when the body is completely gone, but the brain itself will be gone in 3 to 4 minutes.
Okay. I don't want to sound like David Letterman. We're up to number five now. once the heart stops beating, brain death occurs in 4 to 6 minutes. Performing CPR provides oxygen to the brain and other vital organs to give the victims the best chance of full recovery after EMS takes over. If CPR is given within the first 4 minutes of cardiac arrest, the chances of survival double. How's that?
Or triple.
Okay.
Yep.
Number six and seven, I really, really touch home, but number six is straightforward. You might save someone's life. That's why you should learn CPR.
Absolutely.
And number seven, and I think you mentioned this also, Lenny, you may save the life of someone close to you. 80%.
Well, 80% of cardiac arrests
happen at home. Happen at home.
Yep.
Oh, look at that. Okay, number eight, you'll be smarter by the end of your class. You'll know more than you did when you started. And I've learned so much from this show today.
Well, thanks. But, you know, here's a word I'd like to have people realize also. They will feel empowered.
Okay.
That's right. You feel
they will learn, but they'll feel empowered that they could really make a difference.
Right.
And number nine, you'll be more confident. You'll know exactly how to react when someone is having a heart attack.
Nope, cardiac arrest.
Cardiac arrest, okay. Number 10.
Term heart attack is always, when we read in the newspaper or hear on the news that so-and-so died of a heart attack, 99.9% of the time, it's not a heart attack.
Okay.
It's a misused term.
Okay, the last one. You'll get to use cool life-saving technology. Part of CPR training now includes how to operate an automatic electronic defibrillator. Most states require AED device in all public places, and in time of need, you may be the only one in the room who knows how to operate it. Boy, is there not a compelling reason that you really have to get your CPR up to speed?
I would hope people take it, no pun intended, to heart. It's a frustrating, you know, I don't do this as a business. Truly, I don't do this to pay the rent and mortgage or make income. I'm out there trying to promote why people need to learn CPR. And it is a struggle. Mm-hmm. It's very frustrating at times, but fortunate that I'm not relying on the business, which is doing extremely well. But it's not something I need to pay the rent. Mm-hmm. I just want to get that out there.
Wow.
People need to learn.
Right.
And not be afraid of it.
Lenny, do you want to share again with the listening audience how to reach you and where you're going to be come
Thanks.
June?
Our website is our website is healthsave.com. healthsav.com. Again, leave the E off of save for emergencies. Our email address would be the same with just info@healthsave.com info@healthsave.com. They can feel free to contact us anytime. Any questions, whether it's about training, whether it's about CPR, we try to stay on top of, you know, the legal and the current, you know, matters. I attend conferences all over the country every year, several a year, to stay really on top of this. And we will be hosting on June 5th at the Palisades Mall from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. free hands-only CPR training. It'll take no more than 5 minutes. If you stop by, you'll get to learn a bit, we'll explain it, and you'll get to practice on a CPR mannequin.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, Lenny, the mannequins now, they're really a lot more upscale than my first, and Ann and I, when we first started in nursing. But you mentioned about like the 2 inches of compression. Do the mannequins now register when you've done a proper compression, a little light goes off?
We have those. We may not be bringing those to the mall, but we have, those are the ones we use in our office and on location. Right. And we also, we're the only ones in Rockland County. We have we have 2 voice-activated mannequin systems that tie into a computer and are used specifically to complete a healthcare provider. The people who do an online portion, they finish it with this computerized mannequin, and it's also for advanced cardiac life support. These systems are about $2,000 a piece, and we're the only ones in Rockland with it. We have 2 of them.
Terrific.
Well, that's great.
So we have about 60 mannequins in total. You know, I don't give them names, we do have enough to accommodate large groups. And when we have large groups, we try to have enough instructors so no instructor has more than 6 to 8 people at the most to work within this specific grouping.
It's funny you should say that. We did have a name for ours. At work.
What was it?
Ralph.
Ralph. Okay. Ralph.
I'm sorry. You had a what?
We named our mannequin Ralph, actually.
Ah. I just used the company names. So the brand that I use is a company. They're Preston. So they're
okay.
All Preston.
Preston. Okay. That's a good name, too.
You know, and the original mannequin made by a company called Laerdal, which partnered with AAJ many years ago, was the Annie.
Right,
and Annie still exists.
Yes, Recessa Annie.
Oh, that's right. Yes, so yes. You're dating yourself. Dating yourself.
Yeah, we are dating ourselves.
Many people who go back to those early days always joke with me. Oh, do you still have Annie?
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Right. She made an impression.
That's right.
Lenny, could you give us 1 minute, just summarize something that you want to make sure that people, if they joined us late, that they should know about the importance of CPR? About 1 minute.
Sure. Someone collapses and nobody performs CPR, if that person had needed it, there is no way that professional help will get there in time. The public has to become involved. We have a new phrase: don't wait for the help, become the help. And until we can get society to learn that, we won't be able to change that drastic 7% survival rate. We want the country to be like Seattle, 62% surviving cardiac arrest. Only way to do that is getting the public involved.
Oh boy, terrific.
Lenny, you have been an absolute superb guest. May we have you on again? I mean, there's so many things that you've been a wonderful guest. And I joke about this. I know a lot of times people listen to Health Matters, I repeat myself, but I'm very sincere when I repeat myself. But I've learned so much from the guests that we have on, and even today with CPR. And like I did take it my days in college. And again, I am a registered nurse. And you had to do it when you're working in the hospital setting. But I think there's a really compelling reason as far as like getting involved. And I think even that thing about the lawsuits, I always remember like the Good Samaritan and people who say, oh, well, this is going to happen. This is going to happen.
Zero liability.
Okay, that's right.
Zero.
And
the other thing is people should realize that nurses, for instance, have one level of CPR that they train on. There are many different courses that are offered, that we offer through the American Heart Association, and they're tailored for the type of needs you have for it. If you're if you're just a person at home who wants to learn, we have each course is modified for that market. So there are different courses.
Okay. Well, Lenny, Nathan from HealthSave, I want to thank you so much for being our guest on Health Matters. And as we end this show, as I always like to say, is stay healthy. Why? Because your health matters. And to you, your family and friends, I wish you all the best. Follow us on Facebook. We're going to have this archived, Lenny, on our website and Facebook, and you can hear it again. All the best. Thanks. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Nathan.